The bulletin says Matthew 10, 1 through 42, which I do encourage you to read. I'm going to be reading from 26 through 33. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted, so do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Talking about sparrows, Jesus, if you read the whole chapter 10, is encouraging the disciples to not be afraid. He's sending them out to spread the gospel, and they're concerned because Christians were being persecuted at the time, and they were afraid if they got out and started spreading the gospel that they may be harmed. And Jesus is trying to encourage them with the idea that God is with them. And if God cares about the little sparrows and the hairs on your head, you know he has to care about you. So you've got no reason to fear. God is with you. Kind of a off-color story about sparrows. There was a church in England, St. Helen's Parish, where a sparrow had gotten into the sanctuary. They were trying to record a guitar recital for later broadcast on a radio station, and obviously the sparrow's chirping didn't quite go along with the guitars. So they stopped where they were, and they dismissed the congregation, and Reverend Robin Clark, now there's a name for a sparrow story, Reverend Robin Clark asked the congregation to leave, and then asked a friend to bring his pellet gun over to the church to shoot the intruding sparrow. Well, the killing of the sparrow was front page news in Great Britain. The London Daily Telegraph ran a clever headline that said, Reverend Robin orders death of sparrow. The editorials and the letters flowed, and people were pretty upset that they didn't just figure out a way to release the sparrow instead of killing it. And a lot of the people were reminded of Psalm 84, in which it says that even sparrows are welcome in the house of the Lord. So that's kind of like, say, an off-color story, but it gets us to thinking about sparrows, how they are welcome in church, little humble sparrows, and how God cares about each and every one of them. Two sparrows sold for a penny. And God watches out for each one of them, the millions and millions of sparrows. Some unknown author wrote a little poem. It says, said the robin to the sparrow, I'd really like to know why these anxious human creatures rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I guess that it must be that they have no father such as cares for you and me. Another poet put it this way in a couple of lines. If God sees the sparrows fall, paints the lilies short and tall, gives the skies their azure hue, will he not then care for you? So you can see, we really have no reason to worry about anything, but we tend to be worriers. We tend to worry about things in our lives even after we've prayed for God to provide us with this, whether it be something we need or something that we simply desire. We've laid it before God, but then we start worrying about it. We get fear in our hearts and we think God's not going to do that because it doesn't happen when we think it's going to happen. And we've talked about that a lot. God's timing is not like our timing. God does things when God's ready to do things. And a lot of that's because even though God could speak it, snap his fingers, however you want to put it, and make it happen right now, he is not going to do that. God lives within the bounds of our physics, science, however you want to put it. He puts things in order, and sometimes it takes a little time to get the right people in the right place or the right thing where it needs to be, and God makes it happen. So we need to stop and think about those things, that even though we pray about it and it doesn't happen immediately, God heard you. God answers prayers. He always answers prayers, and He cares about us, and He wants to help us with the desires of our heart. Even though it may not be good for us, He will provide you what is, and He provides for all of our needs. There's a young lady named Joni Tata who does some writing. She praises God, even though she had a diving accident and became a quadriplegic. She was glancing outside at a bird feeder one day and saw some sparrows out there eating and thought to herself, why didn't God choose an eagle or a falcon or a hawk when Jesus was talking about watching over them? They're more spectacular birds, something that you would notice. But Jesus chose a scruffy-looking little sparrow. But she thought to herself, yet from thousands of bird species, the Lord chose the most insignificant, least noticed, scruffiest bird of all, a pint-sized thing that even dedicated bird watchers ignore. And that thought alone calmed my fears. I felt significant and noticed, because if God takes note of each humble sparrow, who they are, where they are, and what they are doing, I know He keeps tabs on me, just like the song we just said. Sparrows are very humble birds, and even in Jesus' day, they were cheap. There was hundreds of them. They would even suffice for a sacrifice if you were a family that couldn't afford the necessary lamb or whatever it was that needed to be sacrificed. You could buy two sparrows for a penny and use them as a sacrifice. And that's why Jesus was using these kinds of examples. He wanted us to understand that the humble little bird, scruffy looking bird, wasn't pompous or pretty or anything. God took care of it. God watched out for it. And He will watch out for us in the same way. We just need to be humble people. And Jesus wants us to be aware that God is there with us. He wants us to be aware that He hears us. He wants us to be aware that He does provide for us. He does take care of us in the best way He knows how. So there's no reason for us to be afraid. There's no reason for us to worry about things the way we worry about things. Most of you probably remember the 1980 comedy. It was a parody on Airport called Airplane. And in this movie, there's an elderly lady sitting next to Ted Stryker, who is one of the stars of the movie. And he's acting really kind of nervous. So this elderly lady's thinking, well, maybe this is his first flight. So she turns to him and says, nervous? He says, yes. She says, first time? He goes, no. I've been nervous a lot of times. And that's us. We're nervous a lot of times, even when we don't need to be. Another gentleman getting ready to take a flight. Weather's really bad. He's kind of worried about it. And I don't know if they still have them in airports anymore, but back many years ago, they had these little vending machines of sorts that you could buy an insurance policy for that particular flight. And for example, $100,000 was $3. You stick $3 in there and you'd get this insurance policy for that particular flight. So that kind of made him feel a little better. So he went into the airport lounge and got him something to eat. And they gave him a fortune cookie. Well, he cracked open this fortune cookie and he read the fortune inside and he says, your recent investment will pay big dividends. So you know that probability didn't sit very well. But we have to realize that those things, they're fun. Those fortune cookies, they're fun to read the little things and, you know, kind of imagine how they apply to our lives, but that's all they are. They're just fun. They don't really mean anything, even though we can, in our minds, come up with all kinds of ways that, uh-oh, that's going to get me. But we shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't worry about those kinds of things. Worry and fear and stress are killers. Even the Mayo Clinic has said there's a growing mountain of evidence that worry is the chief contributor to depression, nervous breakdowns, high blood pressure, heart attacks, and early death. Stress kills. The doctor says, I've never known a person to die from hard work, but I've known a lot of people who have died from worry. And it's true. And we all know it. Christ wants to set us free from those worries. He wants us to quit worrying about those things. He wants us to understand when you ask for it, expect it. I'll tell you a funny little personal story. Coming back from Chicago, and I kind of pushed it a little bit, and I was down below a quarter of a tank of gas and thinking I need to stop somewhere and get gas. And I usually like to stop at Love's because they're clean places. You can get snacks. They've got clean restrooms. And so I started asking God, I need a Love's. I need a Love's. Please, you know, got to be a Love's. Passed a lot of gas stations, no Love's. So finally, I panicked. And I stopped at a fuel mart somewhere and got gas and made a pit stop, got back in the car, got back on the expressway, and 10 miles down the road was a Love's. If I'd have waited 2 more minutes, he'd have gave me what I'd asked for. But just like we so often do, I panicked and said, oh, I'm not going to make it. He's not going to give me a Love's. But there it was. And that's how we are. We pray to God and say, well, I need such and so. And we wait and we wait and we think, oh my God, he's not going to do this. And we panic and we try to fix it ourselves and wind up in bigger trouble than if we'd have just waited until God provided, because he always provides. God has unconditional love for us. All he asks is that you believe and trust him. And that's all we have to do. And we can have great freedom from stress if we would just listen to that and know all we have to do is believe and trust him. Some of you may know the name Casey Stengel. He was the manager of the New York Yankees for many years. When he ended his career with the Yankees, he went to the Mets for a little bit, went to the Brooklyn Dodgers, became a Pittsburgh Pirate, but finally wound up back with the Mets. And because he had been all these different places, the crowds were booing him that he had come back the way he did. And they didn't like the idea that he was there. But for some reason, this little sparrow had gotten caught in a fence, and he'd gone over and he freed the sparrow and put it under his ball cap. Crowd didn't notice this. So when he got back out in the field where they could see him and they started booing him again, he takes the cap off and lets the sparrow free. Well, the boos became cheers because he had freed that little sparrow. And that's the way it should be with us. God frees us. And we should be cheering, not booing. We should be happy, not boo-hooing. We should trust God. Because there is ultimate freedom in trusting God. Just knowing that he is going to provide. And that is the greatest message of the gospel, is that God is there for us. God will provide. He always answers. There's a man named Claude Bristol who wrote a book, The Magic of Believing, and that's kind of what it talks about. He was a newspaper reporter, and he noticed as he studied religions and different things, and he would go into hospitals and visit people, and there would be people in there that had a particular disease or ailment that did real well, went home. There were other people in the hospital that had the same disease or ailment that died. And he's studying all this and he's trying to figure all this out, and he realizes that there is genuine magic in believing. I don't believe in magic, but you kind of get the point. People that believe in God, people that know others are praying for them, do better and are healthier than people that don't have that advantage. There is greatness in believing. There is greatness in knowing that God is there. Even psychologist William James says, our belief at the beginning of a doubtful undertaking is the one thing, notice that carefully, the one thing that assures the successful outcome of our venture. Everything is possible for one who believes, Mark 9:23. Everything is possible. All you have to do is ask, and all you have to do is believe. Even in Matthew 20, Jesus tells the disciples, if you had faith such as a mustard seed, and if you've ever seen a mustard seed, it's pretty tiny, you could move mountains. You could stand there and say to that mountain, I want you to slide over a couple of miles, and it would do it. The problem is, we think to ourselves from a purely earthly perspective, and think about it from the scientific standpoint, thinking, ain't no way. I can holler at that mountain for a year and that mountain's not moving. And that's the way we see it. But if we just had that little bit of faith that we could make that happen, we could make that happen. God wants us to understand that you can make things happen. And that faith and that belief, it's not something that you earn. It's not something that you can do this to get this from God. God gives us that freely. That is a free gift from God. All he asks is that you trust him and you believe. He doesn't want anything else from you. He just wants your love. And he will do for you whatever it is you need done. In Mark 9, there's a story of a young man that the dad had brought to Jesus. He was having convulsions. And so Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said, from childhood. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, all things are possible for one who believes. So the father looked at Jesus and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. And that's where we are. We believe that God's going to answer our prayers. But there's that little part in the back of our head that says, maybe not. So we need help with our unbelief. We need help with our doubts. We need help from those fears, those things that keep us awake at night, those things that we think to ourselves, God's not going to answer me. God always answers. Get rid of that unbelief and truly believe. There was a pastor driving to a speaking engagement in Southern California, San Juan Capistrano. And he got to thinking about the swallows of Capistrano. Everybody's heard about the swallows of Capistrano. But did you know that they always arrive on March 19th and they always leave on October 23rd? To the day, March 19th, October 23rd. Even if there's a leap year or something shifts those dates, they always arrive on the 19th and leave on the 23rd of October. And if you think about that, they were created that way. God created it in them, small creatures that they are, God created that in them somehow to have that calendar in their head where they knew we got here on the March 19th, and we leave on October 23rd. And don't you know, if he can make that happen with those swallows, that precision, if he can make that happen with them, he can make the same kinds of things happen with us. He can do anything. All things are possible with God. If he will take care of tiny little birds, how much greater are we to God than those tiny little birds? So whatever it is that you have a need for in your life, or whatever it is that you are desiring at the moment, take it to God and leave it there, as the song says. Put it at his feet and forget about it. You can keep praying about it if you want to. That's fine. God likes to hear from you. But quit worrying about it. Once you've given it to God that first time, quit worrying about it. If it doesn't happen in 3 or 4 weeks, God's working on it. It'll happen. Might take 6 weeks, but it'll happen. Take it to God and leave it there. Because he wants us to be happy and peaceful and prosperous. So just like Jesus tells the disciples, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet one of them, not one of them, will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And that's great advice. You can take that to the bank. If God cares about the little sparrows, how much more does he care about you? So quit worrying. Quit doubting. Believe. And God will help you with your unbelief. Amen.